thank you for that warm welcome. My thanks to Sally Francis for coming along today. It's wonderful to see her again and to accept her kind words and thoughts and her deeds that were occurred all that time she was principal at the college. Thank you, Sally. I would admit, though, it's an act of pure self-indulgence to invite her along. Sally, if you look at your card, you'll see we've got the school song and the national anthem later. And it's my conviction that we really do need a mezzo-soprano to take part in that. For far too long, we've relied on that genre for Wally Walsh. I think it's a good idea, Sally, to leave it another 10 years. There won't be much of an audience. My thanks to Gordon Andrews for his rebellious talk that he gave us and his incessant grains of truth, I think they were, in stuff that he spoke about. Given that he's a 1945 boy into the 50s, it's hard to see him as a rebel because I have this vision of a mixture of James Dean and Tony Hancock. Ted Main also, thank you so much, Ted, for touching on the old school and the association and the societies that existed. It must have been quite a fascinating helicopter view all those years ago, if you'd risen above the OFA and seen all the activities that were going on. He mentioned the football teams, but there were so much more than that going on for us. Well, those of you who know me well know that I don't like talking long much about stuff I know nothing about. So what I thought I'd do is just explain. Well, Chelsea are going to win the league anyway this year. What I thought I'd do was just explain that there's one or two people missing today, and it's a shame, because Peter Reid, first of all, had his heart attack last year. He's well enough, but he's picked up a bit of leukemia now, and he's really sad that he can't be with us. Similarly, on table two, Dave Buckle is having dialysis three times a week, and today is one of those days, so he couldn't get here either. And Dennis Lampard phoned in earlier. He couldn't get here, but he wishes you all well. On table eight, John Terrell is missing, and he contacted me last night and got, he couldn't get here. And on table nine, Rod Bennett, who's only got to come across from Godalming Way, but once again, he double-booked himself. So we're sad about that. I put the picture of the school hall on the menu this year for a reason, because it was such an imposing thing when you walked in there at the age of 11. It was absolutely enormous, wasn't it? And even more imposing when George Baxter was stood on the podium at the end on the stage. It was quite terrifying to an 11-year-old. The prefect's oracle lined up on the right and the masters trooped in after George on the left. Well, if you don't follow a lot of this later, I'm going to remind you about something. George Baxter took it upon himself to suggest to me that I was vastly challenged by grammar. Harold Beacon took it upon himself to suggest that he was concerned about my logic. At the end of the second year, they both conspired to put me in the upper set for English. Gentlemen, we're in the twilight of our times as an association, and in a year when we've seen the Old Girls Association close due to lack of officers coming forward, we should be mindful of our position in that. We are endeavouring to plan through as much as we can. If we get to a 100th annual dinner, we'll have done very well indeed, I think. I want to have a quick word about a guest missing today, Dr. Jason Jones, who spoke to us last year. He's the current director of the college, and his wife had a pretty serious hand accident in a car last night. He spent all night in Frimley Park, and she's had surgery today about lunchtime, so he couldn't be here. We're sad about that. But I would welcome on table seven, Mike Potter, if you're still here, Mike, welcome. Mike Potter is the former chief executive of the group, Guildford College Group. And fair to say, Mike, that there isn't an exit door there, it's an entrance door at the top end for you. Okay. Your general committee continues under the splendid stewardship of Brian Williams. And we're mindful of the fact that our position now, because Brian also chairs the 400 Trust, that stretching ourselves in terms of offices of the association is proving slightly difficult. But we do believe we plan the presidency through to at least 10 years, so you have that to look forward to. I know you're here today, so that would be good for you. Now, I'd like to mention one or two people in the room. The first person I would mention would be Ian Sargent. Ian Sargent, your retiring president from last year, set up the website in the year 2000. To date, we've seen all of the stories that he's put in there, the photographs, the magazines themselves. And I would like to offer my sincere thanks to Ian for that, because in my years as your secretary, the reference points in those magazines are fantastic. Thank you, Ian. Brilliant. I think it's also been noted that the website members now exceed the numbers of LFA members, and most of those young members are the younger members of what was the school. And I'll touch on why perhaps they haven't become members of the association in a few minutes' time. My thunder was stolen about the item about Geoffrey Tate. Derek, thank you very much indeed. I had noticed that on there and I had listened to those tapes, thank you. But I kept a Sunday Times supplement about Geoffrey Tate from I don't know the year dot, as he was about to start conducting at La Scala Milan. Maybe that would be useful for the website sometime, but I did actually keep that. I kept it because I used to sit on Geoffrey Tate's table at lunchtime. And there was a queue of boys that would sit on Geoffrey Tate's table. In fact, it was a fight to get onto his table. He was partnered by Roger Cheel, and he was just about the fairest disher-up of the food at lunchtime. You know, any of you that have spent time with Martin Harrison, you know exactly what I mean. Unfortunately, I did partner Harrison. It was quite amazing how he was able to put such a small portion of studge pudding with no sweetness at all on the plates of all the young boys. He was quite adept at it. Now, I spoke about the school magazines, and in 1933, Savete came in, and, you know, the Joiners and Libras of the school. And that carried on through to about 1973, when the college students, as they were to become, took the magazine over. Now, that's all very well you can say they were doing a good job, but I'm just wondering about that particular edition, because the 1973 edition, it starts off by saying that there were three suckers still left there to continue doing it. The point about that is that in that year, they changed Salvete Velete to Captured and Released. Now, Paul Landers appreciate this, because he's mathematics. And there were far more captured than were released at that time. So I guess that's you lot that are still here today, and thank you for attending. Well, in 1993, 20 years later, you might say another mug came along, his name was Cyril Trust. And next year, Cyril publishes his 25th Farnhamian magazine. An outstanding legacy, Cyril. Thank you very much indeed. So what's the current state of play in the IFA today? Well, as far as I see it, being your president, as long as Morley Road has a building that's an educational establishment, it does provide the IFA an opportunity to help in some way. That may not be money, but I'll tell you what's just been started this year. Jason Jones, the director, who can't be with us, has embarked on a regime at the college entitled Employability Skills, where non-university students this year are given the opportunity of one-to-one interview with business and industry connections. Jason invited the IFA to take part in this, and to take the IFA has undertaken about 80%, well, 70% to be fair, be fair, Gordon, about 70% of this work. In this regard, I have had strong support from Stephen Pritchard and Julian Alden on table 9, and Wally Walsh initially and David Edgell on table 6. But in this regard, really, it would be missive of me not to mention the monumental contribution given by your Vice President, Richard Phillips. Richard has travelled up regularly from Bournemouth to take part and has given his vast experience over to the students as he studiously went through their CVs with them. My unqualified thanks, Richard. I'm sure that Jason would appreciate further help from us next year. So if you want to be in touch with us at all, please do so. And I know Jason is canvassing to continue that work. What it really means is that the students of that ilk are actually leaving the college with a defined career path, not just a job. And that's heartening, I think, to us all. I'm reminded a while back of the pioneering activities of Neil Armstrong. And you can recall that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and you recall the words as he walked on the moon. But do you recall the words he said? In 2010, he had a complete interview with the press, as it were, to verify something else that he said. And it was "Good luck, Mr. Gorski." Has anybody heard this story? Now, the Gorskis lived near Neil Armstrong in a little town in Ohio, and they had a tempestuous marriage, the Gorskis, on a lady's presence. So I'll paraphrase one day what Mrs. Gorski said to Mr. Gorski. "And if you want action in the bedroom, you can wait until the kid next door walks on the moon." Now, that's a beautiful point, because that tempestuous marriage, for those of you who attended the Lower Six and played a lot of cards, you'll know that marriage is like a deck of cards. You start out with a couple of hearts and a diamond, and you finish up wishing you had a club and a spade. There's other people in the room I generally want to thank. Julian Walden and John Clark have been front of house for you today, and I thank them very much indeed. You can't get these things done without that. David and Edgell and David McManaman have run the raffle. Thank you very much indeed. And a word, I think, for our toastmaster, Clive Beale, who's been doing it for a few years now, and he's the pure embodiment of somebody with a quadruple bypass who's barely alive. And remember, if you wake up to the chimes of the church clock tomorrow morning, you've failed to put your clock time on an hour.